this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 100 today, a very familiar psalm to most people. Maybe some of you not, but it is. I was looking the other day, and I saw an interesting little thing. Maybe some of you saw it, too. Did y'all see the picture of the turkeys that were standing outside of the house? And there was a turkey on the table. And the turkeys outside had a sign up, and it says, "Carl, we're going to miss you." That tells you about Thanksgiving. But then there was another one. He was standing on stilts. He had a long beak, and he had a tail that looked like a flamingo. And the rest of the turkeys looked at him and says, "He's got the right idea." Thanksgiving is a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done. We can look back over the year and we can say to ourselves, you know, I know a lot of people have been through a lot of things this year. You've had a lot of ups and downs. I understand that. But I am thankful that we can praise him for who he is and for what he's done for us through our lives today. I was reading an article the other day by Max Lucado. Most of y'all may know him as a writer. And he was talking about living in Brazil. He was a teacher at the university there. He said one day he was on his way to school, and he said he had a little tug on his pants leg, and he stopped and turned around. He said he saw this little beggar boy there, and he just looked up and said, "Bread, sir?" And Max said, "You know," he said, "down in Brazil, if you've ever been there, you know there's a lot of little kids running around begging on the streets." He said, "You just can't feed them all." But he says he looked up at him, and he's this little dirty face and these little dark eyes that he had. He said that it was something that touched him about this little boy. So he took him by the hand, and he took him into the store that was right there. And so Max went in, and he told the guy, he says, "Okay." He said, "Whatever he wants, give it to him." So Max said he was going to get a cup of coffee. So that was always at the other end of the counter where he was at. So he had just forgot about the little boy. He was going to get some of his paper and go on. Well, about that time, he says, as he was getting ready to drink his coffee, this little boy felt the tug on his pants again. He turned around, and he looked at the little boy, this little beggar boy, and he looked up at him. He wanted what he wanted. He said he wasn't very tall, come up to his belt buckle, you know, with that sad face. And he looked at him and he smiled. He said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving to me." Max said at that moment, he said, "I could have bought him the whole store," because it touched him in such a mighty, mighty way. It's amazing today how many people do not give thanks for the things that they have, thanks for the things that people do for them. I think children are bad today, too. We're not thanking the adults for the things they do for them. And adults are bad, too. When's the last time you helped somebody and didn't even say thank you for helping them? So we're living in a day and time where we need to get ourselves back on the forefront of who we are today. We call ourselves Christian, born-again believers. We tell people that we love the Lord with heart, mind, and soul. But sometimes we don't express that too well. Because when it comes to giving, and I'll tell you, you're a giving church here, but there are many people who don't know how to give with a free heart and with love and unity and togetherness. I pray that we will always have that free spirit of giving here at Fairport, like we should. Because the Bible teaches us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And sometimes people don't like that either, but we are to be cheerful givers in living for the Lord today. When I think about this little thing that Max talked about here, I also think about something else. And I think about this before I read this verse. What really motivates us to give thanks? What motivates you to thank someone or thank the Lord for what he has done for you in the life that you live? Let's stand together this morning in reverence and reading of God's Word, as we do each week here. Looking at Psalm 100, very familiar, verse 1. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanks, with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts and say with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations." Verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Dear Father, today as we come into thy presence again, may we take time now to reflect upon this past year, and really to reflect upon today and why we're here. We're here to give thanks to you for the life you give us, for the love you share with us, for relationships that we've built, for the time that we can come and share precious memories with those who have gone on to be with you. But we're thankful for the things that you continue to do to help us to move ahead in life. As I read this scripture this morning, it just touches me in a mighty way about we are to make a joyful noise unto you. Every time we come together with the praise and glorify your most holy name, to be reverent to you as the Bible teaches us, and to leave this place, Lord, in a better frame of mind, uplifted, feeling good about what you've just told us. So be with this service this morning. Speak to me the truth of your word, that we can leave this place, Lord, in that frame of mind of saying, thank you, Jesus, for loving us each day, which in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. So what really makes you thankful today? What makes you to feel so overjoyed that you can come together in fellowship with God's people today? He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sometimes I think when we're here and we're trying to sing God's praises to him, boy, I tell you, that joyful noise isn't anywhere to be found. We're some sad singing people, amen? And you know why that is? Because before we come to church, I don't think we get prayed up like we should. Because if we're coming here to touch him in any way and to uplift his most holy name, boy, we got to be uplifted before we get here. I pray that sometimes that when we get together that we can think about the motivation that comes from above. God's word teaches me that I am to make a joyful noise. Just like that little fella back there, that little girl back there is making a joyful noise this morning. And I love it. I'm going to give you a little insight this morning. And I read another story that was very pointed to what I'm going to tell you about this small child. Now, I know back there, Virginia, you've got that little girl. You're feeding her now. That's good. Okay. Don't anybody look because you'll be wanting to feed too. Okay. There was a mother sitting in a church. And she was sitting there, and she had a small child that was up on her shoulder. And the little baby was there, and what it was doing, it was cooing, and it was, you know, smiling at the people behind them. You know, we see this all the time here in church, you know, because y'all are sitting there, you'll see the baby look at you and smile, or over there, they'll smile at you. And all of a sudden, the mother just jerked that child around like that. You're not supposed to be smiling in church. But at that time, she hit him on the bottom and started crying. Looked over and says, that's better. The question is this. If you can't smile in church and have a joyful time in church, what are you doing in church? Well, that's how we live today. And she went back doing what she was doing all along, you know, but this little fellow, he was suffering for that. But, you know, it's great to know that we can come and have joy to see our children, you know, smiling and, you know, and laughing and cooing and doing all these things. And some of you adults do that too. I know that. Amen. But it's wonderful to say, thank you, Lord, that we can come in and have joy and unity in the church. But he didn't just say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said, all ye lands. Everybody is to do what? Be praising him for who he is. Because he is great. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the one that has given us life, an abundant life. He's given us abundant things that most of us don't even need when you really think about it. In Psalm 139 and verse 7, says, whether I go or shall go from the Spirit, or whether I shall flee from the Spirit, he says, I know one thing. It is Jesus Christ that walks with me. Jesus Christ is the one that gives me that joy and that peace of mind. We can sing those songs like Joy, Joy, Joy Down in My Heart. Amen. Remember those songs? You don't remember that? Okay, we'll sing it one day. Joy, Joy, Joy. But it talks about joy that we can have, the love that we can have of Jesus Christ. Think about Matthew 28 and 20. He said this. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, he said. He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there. So why shouldn't we have the mindset of being joyful when we come to church, being joyful when we're not in church, to have an uplifted attitude? And some people say, well, you're the preacher. You don't see what's going on in the world today. Let me tell you something. I see more than you want me to see. You understand that? I see more than you want me to see. Because y'all just hang your dirty laundry out on Facebook all the time. I love looking at that. Amen. Y'all just lay it all out there, but what you're doing today, what you're doing tomorrow, who you went out with, who did this, that, and the other. Y'all just lay it all out there. What kind of joy does that give me? Sometimes it gives me heartburn, amen. But you can have joy to know how much God loves you, and God sees everything that you do and that I do. Does what you do bring him joy in life? Do you really bring him joy when you think about it? And do you really lift up his name like you should? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this, but as he who called you holy, you also should be holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, when I read those words to myself, I think to myself, am I as holy as I'm supposed to be? Am I living my life to the fullest potential God has given to me? Am I a joyful individual? Sure. All the time. Amen. Not really. I'm like you. I have my up days and down days. But I tell you what, when I think about this, there's always some little bit of joy down there that can be pulled back to the top to put it right to the forefront of where I need to be. This morning as I was up here teaching Sunday school, I think it was May, and who was with her? Reagan was with her. They come walking in, and they jump up here, and they come up, turn all these pretty lights on, the fireplace is burning, all this kind of stuff. I'm trying to teach Sunday school. Was I joyful? I just turned around and said, what are you doing? And then I think it was Julie said, well, he could teach so many of them who's behind him, right? Amen. But you know, distractions come in life that will change your attitude real quick. But I can say one thing. Even though distractions may come and change the joyful attitude at times, that joy is still there somewhere, and you can always tap into the supply, and that supply is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will bring that joy back to you. But you got to put him first. You can't put him on a back burner. You got to put him in first place in your life today. See, and we're here to do what? We're to praise and to glorify him. How many people today mock the Lord's name? How many people criticize you as a Christian? How many people look down their long nose and say, oh, you're one of those, yeah? And I'd say, yeah, I'd rather be one of those than one of these, amen. I want to be somebody that stands on what I believe and the principles that God has given to me. And by doing that, it gives me joy inside to see somebody smile when I help somebody. Or open a door for some lady or somebody that needs something put in a truck or dumping trash for somebody. Whatever it is I do, I want to see a smile on their face and a little joy. I always get a joy when I go to the dump up here and you see some little lady out there. She's walking like this, you know, got a big bag dragging it behind her. You can help them out, you know. But most of the time people just watch them and look at them. I like to throw it in the dumps and they look at it and say, thank you so much, young fella. She knew how old I was. She wouldn't have said that, you know. Makes you feel good. But that gives me joy. Why? Because it's the love that I feel and the love of reaching somebody else. Because you never know who you're going to talk to. You never know who you're going to help in life today. And it's always a pleasure to see the joy and smile on somebody's face when you reach out to them. Thanksgiving is a great time of year. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time. But every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Every day of giving thanks to the Lord. Now, I asked you that question, you know, what motivates you or anybody else to be happy and have a joyful attitude? Some days we're not. But let me tell you this. There's a way that we can have thanksgiving every day. And where does that come from? Right from this verse. Look at it again with me. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. There's a song that says, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me, right? This is what we need to sing more of. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And we go on and on the song, right? And when you get to the course of it, that's the same thing. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm glad that he's willing to reach down and to touch us and to lift us up and to put us back where we need to be at times. Okay, we're crawling in this morning too. Amen. Well, we're going to have a joyful day here. I can already see it. Amen. Good enough. All right. How many adults want to do that? Go ahead. Well, I didn't know there was going to be so much excitement and joy in the church today. Amen. God's good. God's good. But he said this with gladness. He said, come before his presence with singing. Now, when you think about gladness today, and I think a lot of times that sometimes we forget about that gladness is also being thankful to, having a joyful attitude, to be in his presence at this moment right now, because who's watching over us now? God's watching. God's listening. God's seeing what we're doing right here. Are we raising holy hands to him? Are we praising him as we should? Are we singing those praises of love from our hearts today? Are we smiling inside of ourselves? You know, this is what God wants for us. He wants that good feeling within us to what? To be generated to those around us. Amen? How many of y'all been watching the thing on TV last week? Did y'all like that? Wasn't there some joyful attitudes last week in our country? Huh? I thought it was a joy when I seen the idiots up there doing what they were doing. Amen. Let me ask you this question. What happens to all the joy that we should have in this nation? And why don't we have joy today? Why don't we understand gladness today? It's because God is not centered in our nation today. He's on a back burner. He's not 100% anymore. He's that little 10%, 5%, 1%, whatever it is. And even today in churches, he's less than 1% sometimes. And that's sad because we should be giving 100% of our time and talents to him to serve him for who he is. Because he is the one that brings joy. He is the one that brings gladness to our hearts today. If he didn't love you and didn't love me, he wouldn't have went to the cross to die for us. He wouldn't have given up his time for anything that we've done. But he was willing to do it to do what? To show you how much he cared about you. Now, if that doesn't give you some joy and gladness in your heart, I'm going to tell you something's wrong. Because we should be uplifted by what he's done for us. If he didn't love us, it said he wouldn't have sent his son. But he loved us enough that Jesus said, I'll go and I will take the punishment for these people. And he did that out of a love relationship. Now, when I think about the verse here, serve the Lord with gladness, coming to his presence with singing. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, that part really gets me. When you get to heaven, you're going to sing. You hear what I said? You're going to sing. You're not going to sit there and just look. You're not going to sit there and not be in a choir somewhere, but you're going to be singing from your heart. And even if you just know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, you're going to sing that too. Why? Because you will have a joyful attitude like you've never had before. You will have gladness like you've never had before, and there will be a song in your heart like you've never had before. And you're going to sing. Guarantee you're going to sing. And some of you people that can't carry a tune in a bucket, guess what? You're going to sing. And you're going to have a joyful time doing it. Now, I look around here, and I know some of you told me one time before you couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. You remember who you were? Huh? For you people that are visiting today, one Sunday I said, who can I carry a tune in a bucket? And I had half a church raise their hand. Guess what? They were up here next being the choir for me that day. And they did a good job. So I figured they've all been lying to me all these years. They can't sing. Amen. But it's good to be able to do that. Isn't it good to have joy in your heart and to sing and to lift up Jesus? He said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. How many of you believe that this morning? Jesus is God, Spirit's God, and God is God. Amen. You remember Moses at the burning bush? He said, who are you going to tell me that's sending me down here to talk to the people? He said, you tell them the I am sent you? There is no other I am but God Almighty. He's the I am in the beginning. He's the I am in the present. And he'll be the I am in the end. If that doesn't bring you joy from here to here to there, something's wrong with that too. Because he is the one that gives us hope. He is the one that gives us life today. You think about church today. And just like I mentioned about that little boy that got the beating, right? When you look at somebody and smile at them in church, don't you like it when they return a smile to you? Huh? Don't you like that? What if you just hug somebody and they just go? I run across people sometimes in the church, too. Y'all may not believe it. The people in the church sometimes, you'll be talking to them, you know, and you've got the ones that come in sometimes and they don't hug. You know, if you don't like a hug in this church, you're in the wrong church, folks. We're a hugging church, loving church, a caring church, because that's what we do. And what does that do? It gives you the comfort at that moment that people care about you. You see, that's what we do. I know Dwight and I said this before with Dwight. Dwight and I don't care where we meet at. When Dwight meets me, we shake hands and we hug each other. Be in a store somewhere, there are people looking at you going, you know? Just friendship, amen. But people think different, don't they? When you hug somebody, what does it tell them? That you care about them, that you have a, you know, there's a connection there between you two. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. And it's great. But some people don't do that. Why? Because, you know, I won't be near you. It don't be part of you. You can never fellowship with God's people if you're going to be standoffish from God's people. Because God's people do what? They come together and love one another. They care about one another. They share the love of unity in Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be joyful and you want to have gladness in your heart, you're going to serve God, you need to serve God with heart, mind, and soul. You need to be what? Up front in everything that you do. Loving one another, caring about one another. This is what the psalmist says. Thanksgiving time, right? We can give it Thanksgiving time. What about the rest of the year? I always tell people this. I hate this time of year, and I'll tell you why. Man, we will give, and give to all those that need and need and need. But after Christmas and after January the 1st, that's it till next November. Why is that? Why is that? Because at the time, we don't see the need. We don't see a need to help people. Every day we're to help people. Thank you for the sun, Lord. Every day we need people. to reach out to them. You know how many people we reach out to from this church? You'd be surprised. We reach people in Guatemala. Samaritan's Purse reaches a whole lot more that we give to. We give to our Northumberland, you know, Young Life, Wildlife, they call it. Boy, that's growing. How many you got now? 30. Started out with 2 or 3. Growing. Why? Because somebody's concerned about reaching our youth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, this is what counts. And what do you call that? That's giving all year. Being thankful that we're able to do that and can even do more. See, that's what God wants to see from his churches today. Yeah, we give thanks this time of year, but we're to give thanks every single day of the year to what he's doing and seeing growth in what he's doing with the people around us today. That should give you joy and gladness of heart. That should be lifting you up and making you feel good about what God is doing. But sometimes we don't do it. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So if I'm going to rejoice, let me do it at all times. Let me be uplifted. Let me feel good about what God's doing in the church and outside of the church today. What about attitude? What about attitude about serving? Do you have a good attitude this morning? How many of you don't? Okay, there's one right there. Okay. Be no mashed potatoes for you. Why is it sometimes that our attitude just pulls us down? Why is it? Because we don't see things the way it should be. Sometimes we let the attitude overcome how we should act and react to situations. Yeah, I got to do such and such, and I don't want to do that. It, you know, it disrupts me in my day and all this. But the thing is this, just remember this. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we're to serve him with the right attitude, to do the right thing at the right time. And to remember that when things pull you away from him, all they're doing is hurting your walk and your talk with Jesus Christ, and you need to get back to the forefront of where you need to be. See, that's what attitude does to us. You know, I know everyone is going to have an attitude at times, right? Let me tell you what, you can overcome those obstacles that keep pulling you away by doing what? By focusing on him and letting him work in your life right now like you've never had him work before. It's great to know that he loved you and that he gave his life for you. It's good to know that he cares about you. It's good to know that he's always there for you. But how many times do we forget that? Huh? How many times your feelings really get hurt or crushed? And you said, boy, I said, I just can't smile again. I can't feel good again. My friend, I don't care what you're going through in life today, no matter what it may be. And I've seen a lot in my life, too. I can always look back and say one thing. The greatest thing that's ever happened in my life was having Christ come into my life. He has given me the strength in my life to be able to overcome the obstacles that come my way. And he continues to do so. Even through difficult times, I can move ahead. That little step that you get, that inch by inch, he helps me. And he continues to do that because he gives me that joy that I know that's there. Even when I feel down, I feel it inside. I feel gladness inside that he loved me enough to die for me. I feel that, and I know that he is my God, that he has made all things happen for me, that he has made me, that I am one of his people, that I am the sheep of his pasture. He is the great shepherd that watches over me. That just gives me that peace that passes all understanding because he was willing to die to give me that peace. And no matter what we may think in this life, we all are going to leave this life one day. Be prepared for the day. And to remember, he says here, I know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. In other words, he says, I control everything in your life. That's what it comes down to. Everything. He is the center of it. He should be the center of it. And we should relate to that daily. And we should have that attitude of love and unity and togetherness when we come together. He said also in this verse, he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. Wow. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, it says. So when I enter into his courts, when I come into his church, how do I come into church? Do I come into church praising God on Sunday, enter into his courts with thanksgiving? Do I really lift up his most holy name? Yeah. I get here on Sunday morning about 10 minutes to 9. Some of y'all ain't even up by then, I know. Warren comes in about 5 after. And everybody knows Warren? this Helen used to always call him Jumping Jack. And see, Warren comes in, the first thing he does, he comes in and he gives you that, you know, and I'm getting down pretty good at that too, see. That's what he does. You know, and I look over at him, he's got a smile on his face. When he's down, you know, but he's got a smile on his face most of the time. And I said, how you doing? He said, I'm still here. I said, yep, sure are. Amen. But you have joy. Why? Because the Lord has put joy in your heart. The Lord has lifted you up. Some of you come in the morning, and boy, when you come in, it's like, you know, Katie barred the door. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, head hung down, sad looking, no joy. And I'll say, how are you today? And you'll say, oh, I'm doing just fine. No, you're not. You got a problem. You know what your problem is? It's spiritual. Because you haven't stayed up and prayed up with the Lord. That's what it comes down to. Because when you seek God and you pray and seek His face as we should, you will have what? An uplift about you. There's something different about a person that prays and seeks God than the one that doesn't. Because you're always looking down and you're feeling down. You want to get uplifted today? Put Him first. You want to feel overjoyed? Put Him first. You want gladness of heart and people to see that gladness in you? Put Him first. You are what? You are His sheep of His pasture. He's the one that leads you. You know, we talked about this before many times, and I know it may be repetitive, but that's okay too. It's just like sheep. You know, if you get sheep and you start going in a circle like this, they get in a rut, right? The problem is they'll dig a hole 6 foot deep and stay in it and won't get out unless you get them out of it. And that's what Christians do a lot of times. We get in a rut. How do you get out the rut? You got to look up and let Him reach down and pull you up out of the muck and mire of the world that you're in, my friend, and put you on a solid foundation, put you on a straight course, say, go this way. Quit going like this in a circle and put you on the straight road. You see, if we get on the straight road, it would be a great thing. It would be a wonderful thing. But you got to focus your attention on Him. It's what you have to do. Now, look at that next verse with me, verse 5. Look what he says. He said this, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to what? All generations. Goodbye. But the fact is this, when you think about God is good, God is good all the time. There's a song that says God is good all the time, isn't it? Huh? God is good all the time. Let me tell you what. If God is good all the time, and God lives in you through the Holy Spirit, shouldn't you be feeling the same way? Well, you say, wait a minute, preacher. Time out. You don't understand something. You're not me. No, and I'm glad you're not me. Amen. When you get to the point in your life when you can say God is good all the time, that God is good in your life all the time, let me tell you what, you have made it to that relationship that will grow and grow and grow. But until you look at God being good in your life, you're not going to get too far. Because He has to be the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. God is good all the time. Has He ever let you down? No. Have you let Him down? Sure, we all have. And we'll continue to do that as long as we live in this fleshly body and this life. But I can say this morning, that I know where He is. I know where He sits. I know He's coming back again one day. And I'm going to rejoice till the day He comes back. And when He does come back, boy, that's going to be gladness in my heart and rejoicing you've never seen before, because I will be in heaven with Him, walking streets of gold, singing praises like I've never sung before, getting my voice back that I lost a few years ago, and that's okay too. But I can tell you one thing, it is worth every bit of serving Him to know that I've done everything I can to serve Him, to be a good and faithful servant. Everyone should have a song, singing. Everyone should have that goodness within themselves. And you should bring it to the forefront every day. Why? Because He is everlasting. He is an everlasting Father. He is an everlasting Savior. He's a Redeemer. He's everlasting. He's never going to fade away. He's never going to disappear. He's never going to close the door. His door is always open to us to come to Him. Whether it's morning, noon, night, or whenever, you can come to Him and seek Him. But His mercy is everlasting. You see, we don't get what we deserve from God because of His mercy. merciful God that we serve. Boy, if we got what we deserve from God, let me tell you what, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. But because of His mercy, we are able to overcome the obstacles of life. We're able to carry on every single day because of His great mercy that He's had on us. Be thankful this week that you serve a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of love and understanding, a God that shows us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, and all the rest. That He has given this to us for what? To live our lives to the fullest potential, be the best that we can be for Him because of that love relationship. I come across some interesting things this week. You know, I think back to Jamestown. I think about Plymouth. I think about the first people that came, you know, here. The Pilgrims, they called them. Remember, Jamestown was the first settlement, what, 1607? Yeah. I don't know if kids know that anymore, do they? They don't know dates like that, 1607, 1608, and all that stuff. And you remember when they had the first time that they had a Thanksgiving meal, you know? I mean, they had venison, duck, and whatever, and fish and everything else. And they all came together and gave thanks. If it hadn't been for the Indians helping the Pilgrims at that time, they wouldn't have had anything. They showed them how to till the ground, to have the fish for the fertilizer. They did everything to show them, to get them on the right track. Isn't that amazing? And all the things that they did and had a wonderful time, a celebration. All these things happened back before us. We know that. But these are things that we need to remember and to teach our children about. You know, we just said haphazardly start out. God placed us here for a reason and a purpose. Because of that reason and purpose, we've become a great nation. Because of that, we ought to be thankful that you live where you live today. You could have ended up being raised somewhere over in Syria, Ethiopia, you know, Sudan, and all those other places. You could have been in Arabian. You just don't know. But God put you here, didn't He? Be thankful because you're so blessed to be where you are today. And be thankful for the love that He had for you. How many of y'all been hunting this week? Get anything? Nothing. You're the wrong group. That group over there got a couple. Amen. Yeah, they got a couple. Where were you at? You ride down the road about 7 o'clock at night, you hit all the ones you want up here if you want, you know. You get two or three. There's a little story. There was a dog one time. This dog, he was a bragger. You know, people like brag. You know, he was the bragger. He was the fastest thing on four legs, boy. He could run. So he was challenged one day by a rabbit. You know how rabbits are. They're fast anyway. So he got challenged by a rabbit one day. And as he was running, the rabbit beat him. Well, all the other animals there, you know, watching this guy, you know, he said, started laughing at him, started mocking him, criticizing him because he had boasted about how good he was at something. And all of a sudden, he said this. He said, I was only running for fun. He was running for his life. You know why I tell you that story? Because some people just come to church for fun. Just come to church to sit and have fun. Let me tell you what. I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to worship God. The race is before you. It depends on what you're going to do to win the race. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He did it all. He gave his life. And he gave his life for what? For serving Jesus Christ. And after the fight was over with, he said this, I built up for myself a crown of righteousness in heaven. And just like he said, every one of us one day will have a crown of righteousness built up for us too that know the Lord. My friends, be thankful this morning in this service or any service that He opens a door that you can come before His throne of grace and touch a heart and change a life and come to know His Son as Lord and Savior. If I'm thankful for anything this season, this is what it is. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.